chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, we talked a little bit about faith last week, but we're gonna talk about it some more, amen? Then if you get tired of hearing about faith, I'll talk about it a little more. And then if you get tired about hearing it, I'll give it a little more, you know, because without faith, you can't get saved. Amen? Without faith, you can't please God, right? I believe without faith, you can't do anything for Him, right? He gets all the glory and all the praise because He's responsible for the power that gets anything done. Amen? Whether it's in the natural, whether it's in business, whether it's at church, whether it's in our home lives, we got to give God all the glory and all the praise because He's worthy. He's worthy of it. And His grace has been given to us, and everything that involves His grace, our doorway into that is faith. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I believe God. Everybody say this with me. I believe God. I believe He is who He said He is. I believe He'll do what He said He'd do. I believe that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Come on, do you believe that? What are you facing today? What are you facing this morning? What did you face last week? What do you face next week? Come on. If God before us, who can be against us? Now, I'm going to start in verse 1, but I really want to talk to you about the heroes of faith and see how we can implement that in our lives. But I love this first verse, and so I'm going to read it again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hope, again, is an expectation. I like to say it this way, that expectation is the goals that we should be setting. Faith, come on. Look at this. Faith is the substance of the goals that are before us. If you're sitting here in this room and you're still alive and Jesus is Lord of your life, then He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. His goal for you isn't just to wither and sit on your couch and die, right? Glory to God. I believe that His best for us is to live pushing for the mark of the high calling. It's to run our race till the last day. Is, you know, but we do that by faith, and we do that with a hope before us or a goal that's before us. Glory to God. You know, I hear some folks talk, and I just want to, well, I won't tell you what I want to do, but it's like, stop. My mom used to say, listen, Bruce, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And my thing now is, if you don't have anything good to say about God or about your life, shut up. Why? Because you're setting into motion some things that you don't need to set into motion. Right? And we're going to see that in the people that we're going to talk about, and the heroes of faith, that they had struggles. They had troubles. Come on. But they continued to believe God. Amen. Everybody say, believe God. Amen. Let's look at this. Verse 2 says, for by it, faith, elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not visible, which are visible. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts through it, he being dead, still speaks. What's he saying? He's saying the life that he lived is still talking. We just read about him right now, right? I would like my life to live on after I go, right? I'd like somebody somewhere to say, you know, that fella, he believed God. He persevered. He kept going. But go back to Genesis chapter 4. And I want to just look at this for a minute. Because we're going to see some things that maybe we need to look at and put back into practice. It just a cursory reading of this, we can go, well, God, how come you liked him and not his brother? How come you were faithful to him, and how come you blessed his offering and not the other? And I think there's some things we can look at here. In verse 4, it says, well, let's go verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. That's good, right? Then Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He was so angry at God that he killed Abel. I'm going to take out my competition. But what made Abel's a faith offering and Cain's not? Here's the deal. Abel gave his first lamb, his first fruit. He gave his very best and he didn't hold back anything. I believe Cain just brought some grain. I got a little bit left over here. I mean, I'm reading into the story a little bit. But it's the heart of the giving that produced the favor. Let me say that again. It's the heart of the giving that produced the favor. You know, it's easy to just give and, you know, well, God, here you go. But I think that we need to be purposeful when we give. God says that he loves a cheerful giver. Amen? He loves a cheerful giver. And we don't give with the motivation of what we can get back out of it, but we give because God has been so good to us. And I'm going to give God my best. Come on. I heard a story of this was a preacher, and he had a plane, and you know, he'd believed God for this plane, and it took a long time for him to get it. And it was a plane that he could fly from city to city in the place where he was at. And it just cut down his driving time. But he bought this plane, and he was so proud of it. It was such an awesome plane. And he's at a meeting, and God said, give it away. Give it away. And so he said to the person that works for him, he said, God told me to give the plane away. He said, really? Oh, yeah. He said, here's who he told me to give it to. But what we're going to do is we're going to have it painted, have the inside redone and the motor gone through before we give it away. And the guy that he's going with, he said, wait a minute. Why do all that? You're giving it away. Let him do that. And he said, no, I'm not giving it to him. I'm giving it to God. And I would never give God something that isn't my best. Are you listening? So faith gives your best. Faith doesn't give second best. Faith doesn't just get, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this a try, or I'm going to do this with a half heart. Lord, I'm going to do it with all my heart. So anything that's done by faith has to be with all of the heart. As we spoke about last week, that faith is of the heart. But faith has two things. You have to believe in your heart, but you have to say with your mouth. Right? You have to say that this is where I'm going, this is what I'm doing, this is what God's told me to do. But faith gives from a heart that believes God. Amen. How many believe that God loves you? How many are grateful for what he's done for you? I've said this over and over and over again. God, you don't have to do another thing for me the rest of my life, and I'll have eternity to be grateful for what you've done. Right? And I want to give him my best. I don't know about you, but I don't always hit that goal. I don't always do things with all my heart. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm whiny. Right? Sometimes I'm mad. Sometimes I'm angry. And I can't give God my best until I check my attitudes. And then I need to give him the first fruits. Hallelujah. I remember a fellow who was talking to me. And you'd all know him if I said his name, but he was talking to me, and he said the Lord began to speak to him about this very subject, about first fruits. He was a tither, he was a giver, a very generous guy. But the Lord spoke to him and said, when you go to write out your bills, what bills do you write out first? Well, God, you know, I mean, I do my mortgage, I do. He said, that's not first fruits. This seems like such a silly thing, and maybe even a little legalistic, but it's the heart of the thing. God said, I want you to write your tithe before you write anything else. It's the objective of the first fruit. But faith person gives. Abel, what put him over Cain was that he gave out of his heart, but he gave his best. He gave his first fruits. Hallelujah. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. So faith gives, but faith gives from a pure heart. And faith absolutely gives God our best. Hallelujah. My dad used to have a statement that I won't repeat exactly. But he said, never do anything half-hearted. That's not the word he used, but never do anything half-hearted, right? But the principle is there. And I can tell you that half-hearted sometimes is easier than doing it with all your heart. Let me just say it this way. I got good grades in school, but I went to school half-hearted. It's just because I had the ability to do it. In high school, I'm not bragging. In fact, I'm not very proud of this. But in high school, I mean, all the 3 years of high school that we had, I never brought a book home from school once, not once. And I got like a B average, right? And my brother, he hated me because he'd work his tail off. He was 2 or 3 hours a night studying, and he for C's. Not me. But I did it half-hearted. And I didn't get out of high school or my education what I should have gotten out of my education. See, we can't live our faith half-hearted. We've got to be all in, and we've got to be giving God our best, and we've got to be expecting the best. Half-hearted. Won't work. Glory to God. Look at this in verse 5. It says, by faith, ever say by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Did you know that there's not a lot written about Enoch in the Bible as far as, you know, his life and everything? But there's one verse in Genesis chapter 5. It says that he walked with God. If you want to have true faith, if your faith is going to be strong, you have to have the position that I'm going to walk with God. How many go days without walking with God? I mean, just be honest. Well, okay, minutes. Anybody go minutes without walking with God? Anybody go hours without walking with God? How many have... I've done it, bless God. Even in studying, even in being at the office, even working in the ministry, I've done it on my own. I've been, well, this is what I do. This is, I got to get a sermon ready. I got to study that. Well, that's not walking with God. Walking with God is believing, as the next verse will say, believing that He is and believing that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If we're going to be like Enoch, we need to walk with God. Your faith will never grow and never be at the place that it could be if God is on the outside looking in. Of what? Your heart. Hallelujah. You know, I like to sing if songs come up in my... And sometimes I go, should I do that or not? But, you know, come on. When I woke up this morning, you were on my mind. You were on my mind. Come on. It's like, is that the case with God? Are we walking with God, or just He's compartmentalized in our lives and we get Him out of the closet when we need Him and then put Him back in there when we don't, because God, you got me on all of this, but I don't need you over here. And nobody would say that, but are our actions like that? Do we, even in our thoughts and our thought process, do we allow life to take us over, and we're not just going, what do you think? Right? What do you think? He walked with God and it pleased God. Isn't that awesome? So we got to be givers, and we got to be givers with our heart, but we also need to walk with God on a continual basis. You know, even in our giving, we need to be walking with God, because there are times, now just, I got to say this carefully, but there are times where we give emotionally rather than through our walk with God. Let me just tell you one. I first went to Bible college, and I had enough money, and God sent me there with enough money to pay my tuition for the whole year, right? But there was an offering being taken up. And, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. There's a testimony of a guy who gave away his car, and God got him a brand new car, and, you know, on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, I'd like a new car. This guy got 100-fold back. If I give away my tuition, which is like $1,300, if I give away my tuition, well, man, I'll be rolling in cotton. Come on, I'll be doing good. But you see, that's not the right motivation for giving. And I'm walking with God. I need to ask God, God, what would you have me to do here? And not be controlled by the emotions. If we'll walk with God, He'll give us spiritual sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Come on, if we'll begin to watch God work in our lives and talk with Him about everything and say, okay, God, what do you think? And then we give out of our relationship with Him rather than being manipulated by somebody who's really good at taking up an offering. Right? All I'm saying is that we need to have a faith that walks with God, that talks with God, that listens to God, and gets settled. You know, the biggest way, and we're not talking about that this morning, but the biggest way that you're led by the Spirit of God is not by visions, it's not by revelation, it's not by, you know, dreams, and all those things are valid, but the number one way that you're led by the Spirit of God is by that knowing in your heart. It's the still small voice. It's just the knowing. But if you don't walk with God and walk with the Holy Spirit, that knowing will just not be there. It'll be dormant to you, and you won't be led by it at all. You'll be led by your emotions and whatever. You can't be led by your emotions or your flesh and expect to be walking with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be wonderful to be just walking with God someday, say, well, come up here. All of a sudden you're gone. You're just gone. Right? Well, I believe that God's no respecter of persons. I'm not saying that you're not going to die and all that stuff. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that God will take you to heaven with Him every day. Every day. Every day. But you must, as verse 6 says, believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm not talking about religious effort, but I'm talking about a heart condition that, God, I want you more than anything. as I was praying this morning, and you know, my habit is I get up early on Sunday morning and go to the office and spend some time with God and in the Word and go over what I'm going to preach on, and I just felt His presence so strong, and it wasn't like I felt goosebumps or anything, but I knew He was with me in the office. And it's like, Lord, this is what I desire. This is what I want. More than anything else, this is it. And I just get this feeling He wants that more than I do. So if we're going to walk by faith, we have to walk with God. We're commanded to walk by faith and not by sight in the New Testament. How do we do that? We walk with Him. There's a verse that says that faith works by love, right? And I've heard it preached and it has application that means that if your love walk isn't right, that your faith won't work. But I think the true meaning of it is if you walk with God, you'll find out how much He loves you. And if you know how much He loves you, then you can believe Him. You can trust Him. You can walk with Him. And if you base your life on the fact that He loves you and that He's got you, makes all the difference in the world. I want to walk with God. How about you? I just desire that. Nothing else matters, really. Really. That feeling of knowing that God is in you, that God is with you, that God is beside you, that trumps everything else. Everything else. Everything else. I wouldn't trade that for $1 million. I wouldn't trade that for a mega church. I wouldn't trade that for anything, knowing that His presence is with me. I've told you the story, but it comes back to, I want to be one who walks with God. I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, and I went back to the house that I was living in, looking out. I was kneeling on the kitchen floor and looking out the window. That was a full moon that night, and I just prayed in tongues for like 45 minutes or an hour. I was just lost in it, just lost in it. But what I was really lost in was His presence that was with me that I'd never felt before in my life, and had been in church before, but never in His presence like that before. See, we're talking about walking with God. Not just a theoretical God that's up there somewhere, or a book that, you know, I read a book somewhere that God does this and God. No, no. A God who is present in us. Right? But you have to do that by faith. What does that mean? It doesn't matter what you feel. If you wake up in the morning and say, God, this is the day that You've made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad. And Holy Spirit, I thank You that You dwell in me. And I'm going to lean on, I'm going to rely on, I'm going to count on Your guidance and Your leading everywhere I go. And then at 10 o'clock when everything has gone crazy and, you know, people around you are just stupid and everything goes on, you can get alone and just say, wait a minute. You don't have to go away. You don't have to just for a second say, Lord, I thank You that You're still with me. Right? I thank You that You're still with me. My faith is in You, God, and the goal that I want to accomplish today is absolutely being absorbed in Your presence, and in that, Lord, everything that I need to do here on the earth will be taken care of. Right? Come on. Faith walks with God. Faith walks with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, go down to verse 7, I'm sorry. By faith, we're talking about the heroes of God. Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You all know the story of Noah. You know how that God came to him and said, I need you to build me a boat. And I'm sure that it went kind of like this. What's a boat? Because up to that time, it didn't rain from the sky coming down. The earth was watered by water coming up out of the earth. what's a boat, right? God showed him what the boat was, and you can find that in Genesis, and told him the whole deal. But watch this. It wasn't, build me a boat today because next week the flood's coming. It was 100 years. He built this boat over 100 years. Think about all the people around him that just, you know, what are you doing? Building a boat. What's a boat? Well, it's going to rain and the Lord's going to flood the earth, and God told me to build a boat and bring the animals into it. Come on, let's go out and see what he's doing today, that stupid fool. But you see, by faith, Noah began to build the boat. And his obedience and persistence to what he heard in the beginning is what saved him in the end. What am I saying? How does that apply to me? What did you hear? What did God do in your heart? When you first got saved, what happened to you on the inside? Or what has God told you to do with your life? Maybe it's not going very well, but have you been at it 100 years yet? It doesn't matter how long it takes, and it doesn't matter what the results look like here on earth. What matters is your obedience to Him. Faith obeys. Faith obeys. So, Lord, even if I feel in my heart that you're telling me to do such and such, I'm going to do it no matter what. And God is so faithful and He's so true and He's so good to His Word. Let me just say it this way, that we've been going at this church for a long time. It officially started in January of 95. But we were actually meeting together a few months before that. And the months before that, it was kind of like I had every intention of just shutting the church down and doing something else, right? Because, long story. But in that time, I was seeking God. And I had to make a decision. God sent Tom from Eastern Washington, but it settled in my heart that this is something that we were supposed to do. We're supposed to go on. We're supposed to start. And that day, that event, that moment is why we're still here today. Because God said to go on. And watch this. He's never told me to stop. There's been many opportunities to stop. When I quit my job and then all of a sudden the finances went in the tank and I didn't have enough money for a salary, it would have been easy to say, well, I think I can get my job back if I go back and, you know, beg for it. And, you know, I think, no, I remember God calling me and telling me to do what I did. So therefore, it was the obedience and the perseverance in the midst of crisis, in the midst of everything that's going on, that Noah taught us. Keep at it. Don't stop. Keep going. Yeah, but no. Remember the call. Remember what you were told to do. And just continue to do it until He says something differently. Did you know, and I've said this before, but did you know the definition of a successful Christian? Just this. Hear and obey. That's it. Hear God and obey. That's all. Yeah, but this person looks like they're really successful, and they might be. But their success has nothing to do with you. Because you're walking with God, you hear what He tells you to do, and your faith says, I'm going to continue doing it. See, faith obeys, but faith perseveres in the midst of stuff that goes on. I could testify of some stuff that's gone on. Right? I could testify of some things that, but I'm not going to. Why? Because the call has never stopped. You're here today. Why am I still here? Because you're here. Well, secondly, first of all, because He's here. Amen. His presence hasn't ever left us, and He's here. He's here this morning. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you that whatever God has put on your heart, it could be a parent. It could be being a business person. It could be working for somebody. It could be doing whatever you're doing. What you have to determine is, I'm walking with God. God told me to do this. I'm not going to stop until He says something different. Many people walk around and they just run around from, this might be God's will, this might be God's will, this might be God's will. And they read a book or they go to a seminar and they go, oh, I need to be doing that, or I need to be doing this and that. And all those things might be good, but what has God said to you? Right? Because none of those things matter. What matters is, what has God said to you? And you'll be a success if you do what He said and just keep doing it. So faith hears, then faith obeys, but faith is persistent and doesn't quit. I refuse to quit. My family, even at this point, said, well, when are you going to retire? Well, I said, I don't know what that means. You know, I things may change. I may do something different, but retire from what I'm called to do, I just don't know how that happens. Well, what if everybody leaves? What if? I'll keep coming as long as He's coming, right? I'll not stop no matter what, because faith hears, obeys, and perseveres. That's what Noah taught us. All right, let's go back to verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. For he waited for the city which has a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Watch this. Faith leaves everything behind. Let me say that again. Faith leaves everything behind. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Come on, we think of Abraham, the father of many nations, and he's over and over again. He's in the book, right? I mean, we look at him, but think again about what he did. He left the Ur of the Chaldees, which is a pretty civilized place. They've done diggings where they've had running water and they had high mathematics. I mean, he was probably living a pretty comfortable life in a nice dwelling. But he left that all to live in tents. I don't know, but I've been camping in tents. It's not the best, right? Let me tell you just a quick story. It has nothing to do with this, but I think about it when I'm reading these things. It's like I went hunting with my brother years ago. We're up at the top of Blewett Pass, and we're going elk hunting, deer hunting, and then the next week elk hunting. Well, we're in this tent. It was a little summer tent, right? I wake up in the morning, and there's like 3 or 4 inches of 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. And, you know, I'm getting up, build a fire, do all that. I'm thinking, what am I doing? Why am I sitting out here freezing cold in a tent? And again, for all those hunt, God bless you, but that was enough for me, right? I wasn't going to leave the comfort of my bed, sleep on the rocks in a cold tent. But faith would. If you felt God called you, faith would leave the comfort of where you are and continue in the uncomfortableness because God said. Are you listening to me? Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, but there was a lifestyle of doing what God said. He wasn't perfect, and neither are you. That should be an encouragement to you. All of these people that we're talking about were knuckleheads in some senses, just like me. We don't have to be perfect, but we have to hear God. We have to walk with God. We have to obey God. And we have to leave everything behind. Right. When I got saved, I say this before, I've said it before. When I got saved. What do I mean? I've seen people get saved and they just keep living what like they were. I got saved and everything changed. Everything changed. I'm not telling you I was perfect, far from it. But I made a commitment to God to live for Him the rest of my life. And I haven't been perfect with it. Neither have you. But faith continues. I left that old man. I'll tell you a story that's just funny to me. But I'd gotten out off work, coming out of the shipyard, and we've been working 12-hour days. It was summer. I worked from 8 at night till 8 in the morning, so I'm getting out. It's probably 8:30 by the time I got to my truck. The sun's coming up. It's starting to get warm. I'm walking in my truck, and I hear this. I swear I hear it, you know, from the inside. It says, "You ought to go over there to the bar and get drunk." And I was just right out of the blue. And because there was a day that I would have done that, right? Years before Christ, that's something I might have done. But I just started laughing. It was so ridiculous, I started laughing. Why? Because I left that. And my comment what I heard was, "You want me to go back to that? Are you ridiculous?" No, I cut the cords to that. Faith leaves behind and pushes forward to what's ahead. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's status, sometimes it's old ways of thinking, sometimes it's whatever. But faith says, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faith trusts God in the midst of impossibilities. We read about, Abraham, Sarah, yeah. She was old. I mean, old. And we can use an excuse of, well, you don't understand my limitations. Well, I might have been able to do that when I was this age, or if this happened or if that happened, then maybe I could do that. But we have to take limitations off when God starts to speak. Faith is limitless. Come on, faith. Sarah's faith was now watch it. Here's what's so awesome about Abraham and Sarah is that God worked with them. It's not like they heard it and they went, "Oh yeah, we got it. We got faith." No, faith was built up in them. Because you remember the story that it wasn't Abraham, it was Abram. And it wasn't Sarah, it was, you know, shortened. Now watch this. Sarah, now watch this. God had to take Abraham and say, "Now look at the stars. And paint a picture. That's what I'm calling you to. Look at the stars." That wasn't enough. He said, "Well, look down at the sand." So God sent an angel to talk to them about that, to create a covenant. And the angel was talking with Abraham, and Sarah was in the tent. And the Bible says she was in the tent laughing. Great woman of faith and power. She's going, are you kidding me? Do you know how old I am? How could God use me to birth this nation when I'm so limited? But God got her from there to where she was the mother of many nations, right? So we can't go by, if we're going to live a life by faith, we can't go by our limitations. We have to trust on His infinite power and ability to do what He said He'd do. Glory to God. And I think the more powerful that it is, the more glory He gets. When God does something really miraculous in your life, you can't go, well, yeah, you know, me and God, we did this. No, I was just along for the ride. God did it all. I was obedient, but He gets all the credit and all the glory and all the honor. Come on. We have to begin to trust God in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of impossibility. God, I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. Another thing about this church is that we don't have anybody to fall back on. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't go to the district and say, we're running a little bit low on funds. Can you help us out for a while? Nothing's there. I don't have a benefactor that I can just go to and just say, no, I have to trust God. We have to trust God. But you know, we've trusted Him for all these years and He's never failed us yet. And He's not going to. You have to trust God in the midst of what you're going through. Watch this. Faith, trust God. Is God your source? Simple question. Is God your source? Source for what? For everything. If He's Lord of your life and you're walking with Him, then He's your source. So we don't lean on somebody else, manipulate somebody else to try to get our needs met. The Bible says He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's the source. I'm going to trust Him. Now He can use, and He normally does, use His resources. Let me just give you an example. This is current. This is current. You know, the church is we're doing fine, we're doing good, we're paying our bills, everything's good. But the offerings have been a little bit below what they'd been. So I'm going to tell you this story, but this is just talking about God is faithful. And we can trust Him. So I'd golfed with my brother out at Lake Limerick a few times, and I'd golfed with Ron. Ron was a character. Had his own cart, and you know, but he was like 84, 85 years old. And anytime he got a birdie, he brought out the fireball. You know, that's just the way he kind of rolled. But he was actually a Christian. He loved Jesus. He did. And so about 3 weeks ago, they're golfing out there, and they're going from one hole to the next hole, and you know, all of the other three in his group had teed off, and they said, well, where's Ron? Looked over into his cart, and he was slumped over. He passed away doing exactly what he wanted to do. Golfing, and it was great. But he went home to be with Jesus. But at some time before he went home to be with Jesus, he said to Vern, he said, Vern, I need you to sell my cart, my golf cart, and give the money to Bruce. So, how did I do that? It's just God in His favor. What I'm saying is that we can't limit God by what we think we can bring in. We have to trust God for who He is. So, $1,500 came in. Why? Because God spoke to Ron, who's never been in the church. Golfed with me a few times. But God put it on His heart to do that. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to trust God. We have to rely on God. We have to know that God's got our back, that He's for us, that He won't go against us. Let me just tell you another side of that. Over the years, and it's been several years, we've had people come and go, as you've noticed. Some of you, some faces I've seen for a long time, and I really like it. I really like it. But there have been people who've left. And a few times, it was people who were the biggest donators to the church. Now, I'm in flesh, right? I look at the bills, and I look at what comes in. And I say, oh, they're going. Oh, God, what do we do now? Right? And yet, I don't think about that for a second. I just put that down and say, Lord, they're not my source. You are. You're my source. And so I don't have resentment toward them or manipulation toward them to try to get them to do something that shouldn't happen. I have to trust God. See, if you're going to walk by faith, you trust God and you don't make people your source. You trust that God's your source. And I can tell you He's faithful. I said I can tell you that He is faithful. Even when we make mistakes, even when we do stupid things, which we all do, He's faithful. And He continues to be faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will never and will never allow for somebody to get up and do this great appeal that's trying to get you to give something that you don't want to give. It's just not in me. I won't do it. I won't try to manipulate His glory or try to do certain things to make it look like His glory is here. I have to trust God for all of that. I don't want the counterfeit. I want the real deal because I've walked with the real and I don't want the other. So faith trusts God in the midst of whatever you're going through. Well, my business isn't going right, or my kids aren't doing right, or my... What did He promise you? Put the goal out on what He said, not on what you're experiencing. Are you with me? Come on, faith. Faith. I mean, this is a real thing that we walk in all the time. It's like, Lord, I'm walking with You. I'm trusting You. So when the doubt comes and when the impossibilities and when all of things are screaming at you differently, say, God, and you have to be real with God. God, if I'm doing something wrong, if I'm messing up, You show me. But if not, I'm just going to trust You and keep walking. And He'll show you if you listen, even if you're screwing up. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. If we're going to walk in faith, we have to look at heaven as our home. If we're going to walk in faith, we've got to say, listen, I'm just passing through here. There's things I have to do here to maintain my life, but this is not it. This is not my home. This is not the final goal. My final goal is to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Because God is good. God is here. God is for us. Come on. But this isn't our home. Not the way it's currently made up. Listen to me. This is so good. Now, we are going to live on the earth with Him forever and ever and ever again. But He's going to make this whole earth over again. He's not going to do it with a flood. He's going to burn it with fire and it's going to be brand new. His throne is going to come down and sit at the Mount of on Jerusalem, right? And His presence will be with us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Think about that for a minute. My future home is going to be where there's no pollution. There are no weeds. There's no poisonous snakes. You don't have to be afraid of spiders. Come on. There will be no fear. There will be no sorrow. So the land that I'm looking for is not the one on the earth, but it's the one with Him forever and ever. Amen? Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. So we can live by faith. We can walk by faith. We can trust God in faith. We can endure in faith. We can live outside of our possibilities by faith. We can grow in faith. We can know in faith. Glory to God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the outpouring of Your Spirit that is on the earth. It's not coming. I'm not waiting for it. It's here because it's been poured out into us. I thank You that everybody here, Lord, has needs. Everybody here, Lord, has issues that they're dealing with. But, Lord, we thank You that You're the answer to all of those. I thank You, Lord, for everybody that's listening online. If you're listening online, the word of the Lord to you is, He is for you. He's not against you. Begin to speak out of your mouth, if God be for me, who can be against me? Begin to know that no matter what your circumstances are, whether it's pain, whether it's a financial difficulty, whether it's relational difficulties, God is with you. He loves you and He wants to make Himself known to you. So trust Him. Obey Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him because He's there. Father, I thank You for everybody that's watching online. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, what are you waiting for? He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a new heart. All you have to do is yield completely, 100% to Him and walk by faith. Just ask Him to come to you and become Lord of your life. Repent of your sins and let Him come in. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.